The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yesterday, RTE published its new five-year strategy for the broadcaster, and it includes a host of changes. Distilled down, it essentially boils down to there are going to be redundancies and there's going to be a pile of outsourcing. Joining me now to discuss it is Brian Stanley, Sinn Féin TD and Chair of the Public Accounts Committee. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Brian, the committee obviously had made a number of recommendations, 21 in total, relating particularly to the corporate governance and finances side of RTE. A lot of this plan, I mean, some of it does address that, but a lot of the plan is about the totality of the output and the remit of RTE. What's your take on what they intend to do over the next 5 years?
Well, the first thing I would say is that the changes that have already taken place at RTE are welcome. We don't have a full picture of what has happened. But from what's been reported in the media and some feedback we're getting, however, RTE management were supposed to report to the public, back to the Public Accounts Committee in June in relation to our 21 recommendations. There's only a few days left in the month, Anton, and I'm eagerly awaiting those recommendations being implemented. I did propose at our meeting last week at the Public Accounts Committee that our secretariat contact RTE management again and remind them of the fact that there was only a week or so left in the month. So I hope that's responded to within the next few days. That's the first thing to say. Look, RTE has to make plans in relation to output, in relation to content, in relation to streaming, diversification, and all of that. The measure four in it does address the issues, some of the issues that we've been raising around robust financial management performance. And of course, corporate governance has been a huge problem out there. Or the absence of proper corporate governance in the past, and that has to change. I think that the concerns I have around this, some of the concerns I would have around this, is that one part of our report dealt with the whole issue of bogus self-employment at RTE, and RTE is different to other broadcasters and media outlets in that it's largely publicly funded. It's the public sector broadcasting. It's our national broadcaster, publicly funded in the main. And it has a different remit. And the concern here that I'd have is that if it's going to be funded directly and either by way of exchequer funding or by way of a revamped license fee, will the public be paying for a station that will largely be outsourced with a race to the bottom in terms of conditions for workers? And I'm thinking particularly of those workers who have been on short-term contracts, who have been on a bogus self-employment contract, the lower paid workers in RTE, are they the first ones to face the chop? Because that's normally what happens in organisations when there's cuts to be made.
Well, to some extent, Brian Stanley, I would have thought that is expressly what the plan requires. The plan is saying there's going to be 40 redundancies this year, there's going to be 400 in total, and that the objective is to shift production significantly to an outsourced, subcontracted model wherein the people who are producing the programming will be the employees of independent companies and subject to entirely different employment conditions than they would be were they RTE staffers.
Well, what we do know as well, Anton, is that if you take, for example, other services that have been outsourced, either to local authorities or public bodies, they didn't actually wind up costing less in the long term. And the national health system in Britain, and indeed some local examples in this country, have shown that. That's the first thing I would say to you. But at the end of the day, that's a matter for the unions and management to thrash out. But from a public accounts point of view and politically, I would be concerned that that the workers, that their terms and conditions would drop, that they will be, that the lower paid workers, low to middle income workers in RTE, that they will be the first ones to be affected. But that the issue of bogus self-employment, that is fully addressed. That is my concern. And that's the concern of the Public Accounts Committee.
Well, are you satisfied in that what the Director General has said at the town hall yesterday is that he's reiterated what is in the plan, which is that this is going to be a voluntary redundancy scheme and that therefore anybody who is subject to it will have to put up their hand and volunteer for it?
Well, if voluntary redundancy schemes don't work out and there's not enough volunteers that put up their hand, we know this from previous examples across industries, that then voluntary can turn into compulsory. The point here is that workers' conditions have to be maintained. And to go back to the point that I made at the beginning, the concern here is that a cheque of 140 million or so is wrote out as a public purse. or that it comes in by way of the license fee from the public, which it still comes from the public, and it goes into a body, a corporate body, that then uses that to have a race to the bottom in terms of workers' conditions and workers' rights. And we, unfortunately, RTE has had a bad experience with this because of the widespread use of bogus self-employment. And that has to change. I'm looking at this from a political point of view, but also from a public accounts point of view, that it's important that where we're spending public money, that workers' conditions are protected. But as I said, at the end of the day, that's a matter for the unions, for the journalists' union, and for the SIPTU union members out at RTE.
And Brian Stanley, how do you square the actions now taken by RTE with the original problem that brought us here? Because what we had as an original problem was a paucity of corporate governance at senior management level and senior executives entering into cosy deals through agents with contractors and with senior staff. The response to that now is a diminution in investment in internal production that is going to be put out the door and a massive redundancy program. Do the two align?
Well, that in itself doesn't deal with the five-point plan, except for goal number four, as I said to you, measure number four, does deal in some way with that and does address that. And I read that last night. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that those issues, the 21 recommendations from the Public Accounts Committee, they're at the heart of resolving the issues at RTE. They can't be sidestepped. I'm told, I've been informed in an informal way a number of weeks ago that RTE is well on the way to being able to report to us. But as I said to you, that as chair of the Public Accounts Committee, you know, we've only a few days left in this month.
Although, Brian Stanley, in fairness to RTE, they did produce an extensive and very detailed document about their new corporate governance framework and approaches to corporate governance, which I would have thought address, albeit not line by line, but in totality address many, if not all, of the recommendations made by the PAC.
General statements are one thing, Anton. We set out 21 very, very clear recommendations. We need a response to those. The first one seems to be accepted by government now. The minister again states it again this week, and I welcome the fact that government moved to that position, that the Controller and Auditor General would provide an extra layer of accountability in terms of the oversight of finances and management, corporate governance and financial management at RTE, which means that the Public Accounts Committee in the future will have more powers in relation to RTE. But all of the other issues regarding how finances are managed, how to deal with presenters, we need a comprehensive report. We need comprehensive reports.
But again, Brian, surely much of that has already been provided to you. I mean, if you look at point 9 in your recommendations, committee recommends that RTE publishes the salary received by each member of staff at the broadcaster earning more than €150,000 per annum in its annual financial statements. The issue of senior executive and presenter pay has been dealt both in the corporate governance document and in this five-year plan. You talk about the audit and risk committee being fully briefed and appraised on a quarterly basis. Again, the corporate governance plan goes into significant detail about the role of the board, about the role of the chair, about the role of the audit committee. Is it to some extent a bit precious to require them to sub-edit that down to match your exact 21 recommendations when the spirit of it is evident?
What I'm saying to you is there's 21 specific recommendations, and you're correct. Some parts of it have been implemented, some parts of it, and we can see that. What I'm saying to you is that there are clear recommendations. We believe that the timeline for doing them had to be short, because of the issue of public confidence in it. You're correct, and I acknowledge that. I've acknowledged that already, that some changes have been, and I have reported on some changes that have been made. I'm the first to acknowledge that and welcome that, and that Kevin Backhurst has done that. However, what I'm saying to you is that they have a distance to go in terms of other matters. And the other thing we have a distance to go on is that the government have again kicked the can down the road in terms of the funding model for RTE. There doesn't appear to be agreement at the heart of government on this one. We have a broken license fee system. That's absolutely clear. Lose at the rate of around a 40 million gap per year in that. That's only increasing. It's a funded model. It's an unfair model because obviously those who pay will feel it's unfair on them because of the fact that, you know, some people don't pay, and people, you might say there's good reason for that. However, it's a system that can't continue. It's a system that's not sustainable. And the government's own media commission reported, as far as I can recollect, 2 years ago, where they said that needs to now change, the recommended direct exchequer funding. That needs to, a decision needs to be made on that. And they can has been kicked down the road so many times over the last couple of years, and that can't continue happening.
Well, can Minister, I ask, on that note, Brian, one of the things that has happened, one of the core parts of the debate around funding for RTE has always been that you do not want a position to arise wherein the government, through its minister, has direct influence over the broadcaster and is acting as a quasi-sole shareholder, that you need that level of independence. Can I ask you about the current situation? Because the lack of solution to the funding model means that we have now an utterly unprecedented position where the Minister, Catherine Martin, is able to stand in front of RTE and say, jump and keep jumping until I am satisfied. We've never seen a situation where a minister has this much direct control.
You're correct. At the current system where it's ad hoc bailouts puts the minister in that position. And to address directly the 2 points you raised there regarding direct funding from the Exchequer and the fact that you can't have government control or influence over the editorial decisions at RTE, you're absolutely correct. And the measures to stop that from happening are very straightforward. Number one, it should be multi-annual funding, multi-annual commitments in terms of funding. And the second thing is that it's not the minister or the department that would decide on the funding or that would administer it. It's Commission na mBan. It has to be an independent commission, such as Commission na mBan, that does that. You can't have a government department doing it or the cabinet doing it. If you do that, you're correct. It runs the risk of government interference, either now or in the future, future governments interfering with the editorial content in RTE in terms of current affairs and news, etc. And that should not happen. We did see that in the 1970s. There was a lot of that interference in terms of in terms of editorial decisions in RTE and censorship and everything like that. So we don't want to go in reverse gear back to that. We need to move forward with it. And that has to be done. There has to be an independent. That has to be done independent of government. And the two main measures to prevent that from happening are the two that I just outlined. But the current system, the current system of kicking the can down the road, where you have a broken license system, you have some commercial revenue, which will continue, and that's a good thing in a sense, in terms of advertising. And ad hoc bailouts, which has the minister with the checkbook in her hand and in a position that has to say to RTE, have you done this, have you done that? If you haven't, I won't write out the check until you do that. That's understandable in the current situation. It has been understandable up to now. But the reason we're in this situation is because of the delays in government, the lack of agreement between the three parties in government in terms of what happens in relation to how we fund it. Because the Taoiseach says one thing, Micheál Martin from Fianna Fáil says one thing, Fine Gael says something else, and the Greens come out with a different line. What we need now is we need resolution of this issue. We need the legislation on that, which was promised before the summer. We also need the legislation to bring RTE back under the remit of the control and Auditor General. It's an issue that I believe needed to be addressed a long time ago, hasn't been addressed. Make it directly accountable to the Public Accounts Committee. We can't have a situation at the moment where at the moment we have to go to the Oireachtas to get special powers to haul in RTE and to go through all of the stuff okay. that we had to go through last year with him. We can't continue like that doing business. Okay. That's not the way to run a public sector broadcaster.
Brian, thank you very much for your time. That is Brian Stanley, who is Sinn Féin TD and Chair of the Public Accounts Committee.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.